What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. No man, diamonds in my teeth, I got a lot of shine. Running up the number, that's a lot of crime. Try to take it from me, must be out your mind. I keep playing, got a sign. Smokey in the air, that's a lot of pine.
Welcome to episode 383 of Fork and John. I'm Dale Saunders here with Evan Hollywood Hearn, Hollis Thomas, and Mr. Liam O'Neill from the British Irish Eagles podcast, filling in for tonight. And we're going to get his takes on his big experience now that he's over here in the States. But right off the bat, we are 7-1 and we are having fun. I don't know you Eagle fans that are dejected from getting W's. I don't know who you guys are. You're not friends of mine, but our team is 7-1. I had fun. It was a roller coaster ride down in Washington. You know, they can't make anything easy. That's not a Philly thing. But a Philly thing is, tailgating. Shout out to Philly Sports Trips. We had a little pregame tailgate. There's Liam having the time of his life. We had a good old time.
In the background?
And then we got this guy right here, Hollis.
I was in the background of your picture. I didn't even pay attention to that.
Cool. So I had to get you couldn't fit with your big little outfit. I know it's Halloween, but I think Hollis has his costume for the day.
That's the one I you wear. As you can see, the flower has grown because it's been fertilized and watered and nurtured.
Yes. Well, if we're going to talk costumes, the Eagles put on their biggest Superman cape. I'll say Jalen Hurts put on a Superman cape. I think AJ put on a Superman cape. I think overall, the Eagles really – there's moments where, you think everything's going great, and then the Eagles just, they might just fumble the ball on the 5-yard line once, and they do it again twice. But I mean, it is what it is. They overcome adversity. They're 7-1. Evan, are you having fun? You look like Rocky over there.
Well, I got to be honest. I think I'm the only one that remembered what today was, and it's not just the top. I want to let you know we've got the.
Oh dear God.
We got that going on too.
I didn't get it.
Champion. Just because, first of all, I want to say thank you to my man Prime for giving me this. This was this all came together for my work costume as well. I was a boxer. I was an Eagle. But man, I'm feeling like a winner, and it's not just the belt. It's the fact that we are the team in the NFL with the best record. We continue to get better. I know that there was a lot of people that were kind of upset today that Howie Roseman didn't make any moves at the deadline, but can we just take the roster for what it is? I mean, he went out and got a safety that was much needed this past week. And
did you like what he said after the game?
What did he say after the game?
He said we didn't play. He said the secondary, we didn't play up to the standard that we're supposed to, and that's not good. I'm happy we got the victory, but that's not the standards that I expect our secondary.
You're saying Byard said that, or Howie said that?
Yeah, no, Byard said that right after the game.
Well, I mean, first game in a new system. I mean, they got here 6 days ago prior to that game, so I'm not going to hold too much against him. He did play 100% of the snaps, which I love to see. But I think as time goes on, he will continue to get into the fold of the team, and we'll be just fine. I'm totally fine with – I mean, obviously, for talking purposes, for getting excited purposes, there were some trades that I would have liked Howie to have made. But ultimately, if the price was too high – then it is what it is. I mean, we have a good team built here right now, and I don't want to overpay just for the sake of making a trade. So,
what was on your mind? What did you think needed to be done? Inquiring minds want to know.
Well, I do think that it would be beneficial if we got another linebacker in here. I think it would be beneficial if we had some more offensive line depth. But there was a trade that I alluded to before the season even started, and the rumors started to pick up about Aaron Donald coming here, and I was frothing at the mouth a little bit.
I heard it a long time ago, and I was like, if he's able, I didn't say nothing because if he was able to pull that off, whoa. But yeah. The one that I thought you was going to mention, one of the linebackers in
Jordan Hicks?
In Baltimore.
Queen?
Yes. Remember that was a rumor that we were looking at him because he's in the last final year of his contract, and they're not going to pay him because they just gave Raekwon Smith $100 million. So I know they're not going to pay him as well. So
Raekwon Smith got $100 million.
He got, maybe he got traded from the Bears, and then like
I know he got traded. I didn't realize he was getting paid like that.
Yeah, he once they paid him, Queen. That's when I thought Queen was going to want to get the hell out of there. Mm. So that's why I thought you were going to go, because you remember we was talking about that for one show about going after linebackers, yep. And he was right there. Somebody else mentioned Hicks, and where's he at now? Is he in Minnesota or is he in
Minnesota?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think they were going to let him go. They already let go of the kid Kendricks from last year, and he's in not San Diego, LA with the Chargers. So I knew they weren't going to go their route, even though I would have even liked number 99 for the Vikings to come here to bolster up our pass rush just a little bit.
You talking about Daniel Hunter?
Oh, my God, yeah.
I mean, but he's leading the NFL in, like, sacks right now, so that's it.
But it's like we thought that Christ. I know, but we thought that they were going to be selling because he's in last year's contract. Remember, sure. That's what, like, when we heard the Derrick Henry one, I felt like that was a solid deal, the one I heard that was going out for him. Mm. But then I found out that Derrick Henry had to agree to renegotiate his contract to move some money around. And by 4 o'clock yesterday, and when that didn't happen, things weren't going to happen. So,
yep.
But it was the one thing that I do commend Scott Howie on is going to get us another safety, because I didn't think we were going to make it with what we had. We had to let go of Edmonds because he was too many mistakes back there. And yeah, Blankenship. When Blankenship went out, you knew it was something wrong back there. So, and then the other part too is in watching this game, we had two guys coming back from injury. I think that's one of the toughest things, and some people gloss over. When you come back from injury, yeah, you may practice good, but right. As I told people before, practice, your people aren't trying to hurt you. Your people care about you. Your people want you to play. The people on the other side, they don't give a damn. So they're going as fast as they can, and they're doing what they can. So I think it was good that we got that game out the way for the showdown. Of the showdown of what they call the elite. And I don't know about y'all, but I felt some type of way when Dak's talking about rub honey all over him, talking about poking the bear. I'm like, ew.
Yeah. Pause. It was a pause moment. It was a pause
moment. Slow down. I know. Slow down, baby. it makes you want, I don't know. But it's one of those things, and I just saw a bunch of, I guess you could say a bunch of cowboy lovers spewing out things just to get a rise out of people. And that's
that out of the ordinary house?
I mean, well, no. That was a funny thing, too. But it was some things that it was just like they were mentioning CeeDee Lamb and I want to say A.J. Brown and some other stuff. But it was so funny. I was like, wow, I guess there still are some stupid people in this world. It's just like, it was just like the stuff that they were spewing is just like dumb. But I love this week. It's a Cowboys suck week. We got the Birds Fly Home. As you see, we got my boy Liam in here. We got a bunch of other people. We got a bevy of things to show them the good things of our own city of Philadelphia, the city of brotherly shove. I mean, brotherly love.
or brotherly sweet. Well, Liam, I mean, it's your week, actually. I mean, I was just like, happy to see you in your joyous moment. I saw some of your photos that you took at the game. I mean, what's your experience been like so far this week?
Yeah, it's been amazing. I came a little bit earlier than the rest of the UK fans to try and get two games in. So I was there on watching the Washington game. Got a little photo. Hollis asked me for a photo, by the way. I didn't ask Hollis for a photo.
Yes, I did. I did ask him for a photo.
That was a highlight for me.
I had to take a picture from a guy from overseas. Yo, well, it's not like I see you all the time.
I know. I saw you last year for the NFC Championship game. No, listen, it's been amazing so far. Philly Sports Trips put on a great event down in Washington. Tailgate was awesome. Seats were awesome. It felt like we took over a little bit. Like, you know, I don't know what the attendance breakdown was. It's a big old stadium down there in DC, but it felt like at least a 35% Eagles, 40% maybe Eagles turnout in terms of the noise in that stadium.
Wait a minute, has he been in the back playing howling noises?
I think it might have been 50%.
You reckon it was that much? Yeah.
Yeah.
It was
take over that stadium regularly.
You would be hard pressed to catch him. A Commanders fan. I'd be wanting to call them the Redskins so damn bad, but yeah, I was actually, you know, I watched the game on my iPad on the bus, but it was some people watching it was like a bunch of people, and I'm thinking they watching on the big screen. They were watching on a 19-inch TV. I was like, y'all are going to go blind over here with that bullshit. And I mentioned this because no matter where you go, even if it has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with the cow tramps, somebody over there with a Vander Duty shirt on, number 55, at a Parsons jersey. I was like, "What the hell are y'all doing here? Are y'all pulling?"
I saw that.
How much
does Parsons want to be an Eagle? By the way, like every time I see him do any kind of interview on there, like what's going on?
Yeah.
Now, if I was a Cowboys fan, I was seeing that happen on the regular. I would definitely be pissed as well.
Yeah.
I go back to the Devonta Smith softball game where he was the opposing captain versus Devonta's team, and he got booed pretty badly by the the Lehigh Valley folk up there. They were not
receptive of him.
No, they weren't. I think it was the first time being a Penn Stater that he got that,
ooh,
that
in the state of Pennsylvania
and caught him right in the field. And ever since then, he hasn't been right.
Well, you know, the funny part about him, I think he's a bit of a passive aggressive guy. I hate when people lightweight talking to media. If you're gonna say something, say it. Don't just give people half a bulletin board material, because if you're not gonna say it, somebody's gonna bait you into saying it. It's gonna sound way worse than you wanted to. But when you say it, just say it. They're not scared. That's basically what Dak Prescott did was he wrote himself a check. He wrote himself a check. His ass probably not going to be able to cash, because you don't speak ill of somebody else and give them something to play for. There's already something to play for, but now if we want to prove a point, now making sure that we put foot in your ass sideways to the next life.
It's not.
Do you know how many interceptions he has so far this year? Well, didn't he say he wasn't going to have more than, what was the number he said?
Ten.
He's already got five or six.
He's got five or six already.
Yeah, he threw three in one. He threw two, and then he threw three in one game. But I think the last few weeks he's been interception free. And it's the funny part about that, when you come out and stick your foot in your mouth like that, yikes! I don't know.
Well, I mean, as we're talking about this Dallas game, I really don't think people – there are people that are out there that are on the same wavelength as me, but this is the biggest game in a long time for the Eagles. I mean, I'm not so sure if it's just my own fandom getting involved, but first of all, it goes without saying, all of us are in agreement here probably, that the Dallas Cowboys, it's our biggest rival. It's the ones that we hate the most, the ones that we clash the most with when it comes to sports conversations. And now, I mean, last year we had Jalen versus DiNucci? I forget who even their backup DiNucci, was.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the year, we had Dak versus Minshew. So, like, we haven't had that right Dak versus Hurts matchup with two teams that are completely built. This is the first time we're going to see that. And I feel confident as hell. But at the same time, I'm sitting here like, dude, we better stomp them out. There is no bigger game happening in the NFL this week than Eagles Dallas.
You know what? The funny part is, and I didn't even think of this until the other day when this game was coming up. You know that the size called a few was coaching the was coaching in Chicago when Mike McCarthy was still in Green Bay. Mm-hmm. So he kind of knows what he calls. It's the one thing I don't think that they're going to be able to get away from is like I don't think that their offensive line is up to the task. Basically, they not to say they get away with a lot of things, but yet they do. But they also when the chips are down and when somebody's kicking ass, they have a lot. And this is because I watched them all year. They have a lot of unnecessary roughness penalties and hands to the face penalties. And so that'll play in our favor, especially if we start whooping them like cornbread batter up front, especially.
But before we get into the Cowboy talk, we did have a game where we won a football game versus the Washington Commanders.
Yes.
And a lot of people will I'll just go right to AJ Brown. I think AJ Brown has been a monster across the middle. He's been a monster vertically. He's been a monster on wherever on the field. He is making cornerbacks cry. I think at the end of the game, I saw him go up to one of the Washington cornerbacks and just like gave him a little pat on the shoulder. He's like, "I did it
he
to y'all. I did it to y'all again." I think he made one of the nicest catches of the year so far. That extended handout right before the half. I think AJ Brown deserves his flowers. I mean, we were at a time where we were commending Travis Fulgham for having four straight games of 70 yards. We now have a real wide receiver.
Well, that one out of your ass.
So I think it's a great time to be alive.
And speaking of that catch, I mean, I challenge you guys to tell me, like, can you think of a better catch in Eagles history?
Not in Eagles history.
I could think of some Jason Avant one-handed grabs, but not for a touchdown like that, man.
That was a touchdown, though.
That's what I mean. That was like
the catch that put OBJ on the map.
That's what I mean.
When you look at the way that catch where he caught it, how he caught it, still getting not
still
just
fighting
one foot.
with the rest of his body.
Yeah,
his
but
knees
then,
down.
Getting
yeah.
two knees down, dude. Pause. But getting two knees now and still controlled the ball all the way out, and still we were talking on our show. We had Doc on, and we were talking about how he learned from remember when we played the Redskins, the Commanders last time, after a situation like that, he got that penalty. Mm-hmm. And so this time you notice he didn't get up, and he wasn't about him. He just got up.
I would have taken the penalty again, to be honest.
Didn't he get it last week?
Well, like after he did it last time, didn't something similar happen like the week after where he didn't talk? I don't know if he got a penalty, but like.
Well, yeah, he didn't really talk about it because he was pissed because some people were making a big deal out of it. But when you're an athlete at the magnitude that he's at, you have to harness that energy and savor it for the next play. But it's like, but when you do it like that, remember we was it's a moot point now because we ended up winning the game. But when you go tit for tat with another opposing team who's got your defense's number, shortening the field by 15 yards is not something you should do. It's like in that, and I committed. We were talking about that. He had to learn how to harness that and celebrate with his people on the sideline. You don't have to point those clowns out. It's like I know why he wants to, because how many times, this is a question for everybody. How many times have you been watching a game and a DB just like this and all this? Hey, you didn't have shit to do with it. He just missed the pass. You doing all this and like this and in his ear and stuff.
That's DBs in general, man. I watched Jalen Mills do that his entire career.
but when you look at somebody do that as a player, you want to say, yeah, in your face, sucker. Yeah, that not this really. So that's why I understood the reason why he did it. I just think it was an untimely penalty. And I sometimes think the officials have some on the game. I was watching basketball the other day. Our Sixers, we finally, even though we're talking about our Birds, we finally got rid of the biggest elephant in the room known to man, James Harden, a good riddance son of an onion. I felt like the team was doing great without him. And then the additions that we got, hopefully Nick Nurse can handle some business. But when you have situations like that of people don't want to be a part of the team. At a certain point, when you have your money and it's a contract you sign, all that bitching and moaning ain't gonna do nothing but mess up the chemistry of the rest of the team. Now we can say that it doesn't bother us, but that it starts getting monotonous after a while. If you're not worried about playing, you steady worried about that. You should take care of it. was like, nice. But you know, but I commend them for actually growing. We were talking about that growing all the way up.
You know, he's not bitching and moaning. Devontae Smith, who's also balling out there. He got his off. I thought almost had a broke 100, but he scored a touchdown. I think in key moments, he came up big. One play, Riverboat Ron forgot to challenge the catch on that play. I think I don't know really. I think we just saw the implosion of the Washington Commanders after they got their fifth straight loss in six games. So I think they're done. There, someone I've seen on online, someone said, "Who's going to be?" It was Emery Hunt. He said, "Who's going to rush the passer for the Washington Commanders?" And someone said, "Wale." So they just depleted their edge rushers right off the bat.
Isn't there some pride in that, though? The fact that like that Eagles loss made them reevaluate their entire future.
I saw your tweet.
They're like, you know what? It's time for a rebuild. We can't compete with the Eagles.
Hey, well, Hollis, I said this to you pregame. Do you remember at the tailgate? I was like, I don't know if Sweat and Chase are going to be up for today that much because they know if they lose, they're going to get out of there.
Sweat
taking a sack, I think, didn't he?
We were having a conversation. Liam was having a conversation before the game, and we were talking about the state of the Commanders organization. His take was that those two guys were out of there. My take was that Riverboat Ron is out of there because, I don't know if you heard me when I told you this. I was like, anytime one of the owners, and Magic Johnson is one of the nicest guys in the world. When he starts tweeting, the team showed no passion, no heart, and no desire to win whatsoever. When the nicest guy in the world tweets that he's the owner of your team, and he comes and they literally had an interview with him, and they was like, he said, "I buy teams to win."
Hey man, I agree with you that Magic Johnson is a nice guy, but I will say the Magic Johnson thing that goes down in infamy for me is when he left the Lakers saying, "I'm not gonna be here." I mean, that's the Magic Johnson I know. So,
I know.
I'm just saying.
But that's because everybody is saying. So when people start telling you to get the hell out of here, you say, "Well, I'm not gonna be here."
Yeah.
Okay, going back to your Devontae Smith take there a second ago, like so 99 yards this Sunday just gone by. How long before teams start double teaming AJ Brown and Smitty is gonna eat? I just think it's inevitable now.
But Liam, double team him. But it's like the one thing that I do know is I like his confidence in going to AJ Brown because I looked at all those pass plays when you went to him and they had double teams. Everybody else was like Velcro. So when you're coming up against a team that has a decent defense, they kind of had our number. So we go tit for tat with those guys, and they just kind of have our number. You got to go to your big dog. We finally got a big dog that could go and take the ball on those 50-50 ones. Now, to what Liam was saying, Julio Jones, he caught his first touchdown pass in a long time, and it was awesome. As like I feel like with what they did instead of the run, what they did with Dallas Goedert and getting him out there on the edge because they were loading up on the inside to stop the run, and you still got to get some easy stuff. I feel like all of that is going to open stuff up for Devontae. And it's going to open a little bit up for Julio and Dallas. And then we're going to have to hit him out the backfield with some of the other guys. But when you look at it, we got to weather the storm until we get all of our young guys back.
You talk about that red zone play with Julio. They talk. I was actually shout out to my guy CJ. Shout out to Chuck who hooked us up with tickets for the game. I was talking to CJ and I said, "Look, I said, there's Julio. We're in the red zone. He's in the seams. They're gonna throw it here. This is the play." But that play was actually practiced over the week. They had a plan in place. The ball placement was perfect. Tremendous. Chef's kiss.
Yep.
But the fact that you talk about red zone issues a little bit, like you have a red zone guy in Julio. And Julio, we have Julio. Dallas Goedert. you got Mega John.
Mega John.
there's a lot of options in the red zone. Let's use them.
The funniest thing though is like I was talking to one of the fans at the tailgate, and they say we're gonna win. And Julio Jones is gonna score his first touchdown as Eagle. I can't remember who it was because things are a little blurry. From 1 o'clock on, but I do remember talking to somebody and them exactly said that. I was like, oh, son of an onion.
Yeah. Two weeks in a row as well, Jalen with a snap pass like before the lock, the 50-yard through the air to AJ Brown. He's getting hit as he throws it. He snaps that ball off quick, and then the pass to it to Julio Jones. That's a snap pass. Like he literally just snapped that straight away down the middle. Like I think the commentator said that's a 96-mile-an-hour throw. Obviously it wasn't, but you know he's got scary arm talent when he's not. I can't remember who I was talking to about it, saying he throws so much with his upper body than his legs sometimes because the ability to snap that ball off so quick like that was impressive. Like you see Josh Allen doing that kind of stuff.
You saw him do the stiff arm throw versus the Jets. He had the guy in
the only thing, the only difference, Liam, is one of those guys you mentioned has been to a Super Bowl already. Next question.
Yeah, true.
Now, talking about this game, who can we give our quick offensive MVP award out?
What? Who the hell you think get it?
Well, we got to say it. We got to say it. We can't.
AJ Brown.
Okay.
Yeah, I got Jalen Hurts.
AJ Brown, man. He's I mean, Jalen Hurts has definitely an argument for him to throw
419
touchdowns.
419 yards?
Over 300 yards, no interceptions. He had a good day. But I think that if you just look at pure dominance this year, and this has been the entire season, AJ Brown has just been
NFL
on a different
record.
Level. NFL record breaking.
Not a club
he
record.
Is, I heard, what's it called? I heard someone, it was after the 1 o'clock games had ended, and I think it was on NFL Red Zone. It might have been Scott Hansen talking about, like, you know, the Jamar Chases and AJ Browns of the world. And I was sitting there thinking, I was like, why are you putting Jamar Chase in AJ Brown's class, bro? Like, they ain't even on the same level. Like, I've officially reached that. AJ is a top three wide receiver in this league, and there is no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
I did call him one of the top in the league early this season. I just felt like the way that he plays with strength and boxing out, like the cornerbacks can't get through him. So it's either you have to go around. By then, he's one-handed Jones. But I'm going to give it to AJ Brown, I think.
You're gonna give it to AJ Brown?
I'm just gonna give it to him. But when you think of any record that's broken in the NFL that Jerry Rice or Randy Moss don't have, then you're like in upper echelon territory. Like that's kind of crazy. I broke a record that Jerry Rice doesn't have.
Ever played the game.
That's kind of sick.
Not even the ones back in the day who I'd be bitching the morning, be getting the shaft because all the rules change. Yeah, you know they often change all the rules, and somebody said that a lot of the records, like the Ornthal James Simpson 2,000-yard record, you know, it was done in 14 games.
14?
Yes.
Yeah. Wow, that's crazy.
The leading rusher of all time, Jim Brown, his was done when there was 12 and then 14 games.
Well, let me ask you a question then, right? We're talking about AJ Brown. We're talking about these historic records, right? Mm-hmm. MVP. There's never been a wide receiver who has ever won MVP in the league. We've had running backs win it, but mainly it tends to be quarterbacks. What does AJ Brown have to do to win the MVP this year? Is it even possible?
I think it's tough.
I think unless he actually breaks the receiving yard record for wide receivers, I don't think he's going to be able to do it. And it's even going to what the unfortunate part about that is, it should just be the most valuable quarterback. That's what the award should be called.
Yeah,
exactly.
Because ultimately at the end of the day, like you need to go so far above and beyond as a non-quarterback to win that award that, you know, it's almost impossible. Like I have no doubt in my mind. Like I put it at like a 90-10% that even if AJ Brown, you know, throws up something like 1900 yards and, 12 touchdowns, that they'll still give it to just a quarterback.
If he does that, guess who's going to get it? Our quarterback.
Yeah.
But I feel like if he keeps on beating all the double teams and keeps setting the records and stuff and keeps just handling business the way he does, there's no way he should not be in the talk for MVP because he's going. I'm talking about, like, dude, it's like you can try to check me if you want to. It's been a long time since I've seen a receiver of this magnitude. They were talking about Megatron, who used to do some spectacular stuff. I was like, I haven't seen this in a while.
Let me ask you, has AJ Brown as an Eagle surpassed Terrell Owens as an Eagle and what they've done in their body of work?
Well, because he's three games ahead of T.O. Remember, T.O. got suspended that next season, and we lost the Super Bowl like they did, so they were the same thing. But then he's on his eighth game. T.O. didn't even make it to his eighth game.
I think he's just playing lights out, man. I haven't seen this
ever. And on top of the fact that, like, the drama aspect. I mean, we can't overlook the fact that how Donovan and T.O. butted heads. I mean, that caused a rift in the locker room, whereas we have A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts that are best friends. Like, that is a huge difference.
That's a great feeling, knowing that we have this the trio. I mean, you still got Devontae Smith, and then you have Dallas. It's an amazing group of talent. So I think overall, I'm excited.
I feel like this could be a Dallas week coming up, a Dallas Goddard.
Dallas beats Dallas.
I feel more like it's going to be a Julio Jones coming out party.
Wow. Okay. Ooh, like he's DeAndre Hopkins.
This is the thing too. It's like they're gonna put their best corners on everybody else. They're gonna try to double team everybody else. And I already know, because it's gonna be the hardest coverage to decipher is if they do a cover four or cover two. If they do a cover four, you don't go deep. You got to take what they give you. If they do cover two, you got to hit in between. In the meantime, they mean in between time. But they go cover four, you can also run the ball on cover four, because that means that they don't have anybody else in the box from the secondary. So I think that we're going to have to take what they give us, and I think that Julio Jones is going to be a part of that. And I think that they're going to underestimate him and probably try to put some young pup on him to talk trash. And then once you do that, they're going to have to make adjustments. And then that's when AJ and Dallas will get them good.
But what's your stat line? What's your stat line for Julio Jones projections this coming weekend if it's a coming out party?
I'm gonna say six or seven catches, but for like close to 100 some yards.
I just need one catch like he did in the Atlanta Falcons when we played Atlanta Falcons, the one that he missed. I just want one of those in the back of the end zone. Just for old time sake.
But also look at defensively, I know you know Kevin Bayard Dallas hates him because
he's from the area now.
He's from here.
That's what I mean. He's from the Philly area.
Yeah, so he knows the hate.
Mm-hmm. The funny thing is his locker room that he has used to be Brian Dawkins, his favorite player. That's kind of cool. What's kind of cool is our defensive MVP. It could be up and down here. I mean, because this defense gave up a lot of yardage to a guy named Sam Howell, who they made him look real. I'm gonna give him a hat tip. He played pretty well. But who is your defensive MVP? I mean, it can go either way.
The only one that really comes to mind for me is Hassan Reddick. I mean, some people are going to say Reed, and I think that's fair because of the interception. But ultimately, I think he was kind of a liability the rest of the game, aside from that interception. And he did get lucky on that pick. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. That was due to an overthrow. It's not like he jumped the route.
I didn't think Reed had the best game, Reed.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. I don't think him and Sydney didn't have the best games. And I think it's mainly because they were coming off an injury. Sydney didn't have a great game. He got toasted a few times.
Sydney was.
He was good. He had a couple of good plays. But then the hit was nice, but then he started getting toasted. I think toasted here and there, but I think like some of the people in the watch club, I say Reddick.
Let me throw one out there that no one's really talking about here. Fletcher Cox. Davis out for the whole game. Carter out for the whole game. He basically played the entire game. He had to bat down.
As
well. I know he wasn't lights out, but like, I mean, from a pure effort standpoint, to be in there and grind it out at his age for the team, although that was a big standout performance from Fletcher Cox.
Wait a minute. How old is he?
Playing well.
How old is he?
Was he 32, 33?
Older
than I played four games at 34, 35, and 36. So no.
That's
and then the one that sticks out in my mind is we had a new defensive line coach who Ed Ogeron, who was trying to just play his boys until because we had rotation. And so if one game came up and I was just chilling, I took all my ups and stuff, you know. So then I was watching, we was doing warm-ups, and I watched one of the young guys doing that bullshit that he had him doing. He hit and no man is supposed to hit a split, especially a big man. He hit a split. I was like,
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Because I knew he was down, and it was only us two. It was only me and him up as nose guards to do a rotation. And they came to me and was like, hey, we don't have no other nose guard. You have to play the whole game. I led the defense with 12 tackles.
There you go.
And I played everything, including nickel. I was dog tired. It was actually the funny thing we was playing against. We kicked around Chicago. That was funny, though. And I was like, I didn't know. I was like, that's because you thought I was 19. He was a college coach. I'm not 19. I'll show you what I can do on the field. I'm going to do what I need to do in practice to get ready. I was like, but at that point, like Fletch, he can't do that every week. But I expect that out of him every now and again when they need him. Yeah. And I think you can look at him as part. You can give him co-defensive players because he blocked that one pass. And the Blankenship and Sidney Brown was a beat. So if he hadn't blocked it there, it was a catch.
Outside the box speaking, I'm going to give a defensive MVP to Terry McLaurin for dropping that pass.
Yikes. Yikes.
Scary Terry.
Washington fans were like coming up with excuses why they lost. I mean, the refs and others. Mm-hmm. Hey, you can look Scary Terry dead in the face, two drop balls in a row with the game on the line like that. At the end of the day, you guys got to make a plays, but.
That's not an A.J. Brown caliber player, bro.
Yeah.
I'll go with Hassan Reddick. I saw this in week four. He made big plays against Washington to get a win versus the Rams. Week five, he had back-to-back sacks to end the game. And then week eight, Reddick sacks Howell to close out the game. I think that's the kind of thing you want from your MVP-type players.
They're getting absolutely menaced by Reddick and A.J. Brown this year. I will say, though, I saw a stat – earlier today that kind of shocked me. What if I told you that Howell has more passing yards this year than Jalen Hurts?
That sounds about right.
I mean,
he's growing for his life.
Because if you look at it, a lot of times they were down, they've been down. But then he said besides our two games, the two games he flourished in, that and you got to realize he's got a different offensive coordinator. Who understands that he's a young quarterback. And if you notice, we keep catching them after every loss. Every time they get their ass whooped, we was like they before they came here the first time, they had got their ass whooped. So you got to realize they go in there and they fix and tweak things, and he comes back out and he's good. Then they lost to the Giants. He got sacked like 6 or 7 times. You know that they're going in to fix things, and he's good at making adjustments. So I think it's a product of the offensive coordinator because guess who's getting their asses handed to him in Kansas City right now?
Yeah. No, Nagy, right? Is theirs?
Yeah, Matt Nagy, who sucked.
Yeah,
he sucked.
I will say though, he got the Chicago job. I will say though, I was watching a lot of breakdowns of the game, and there was a lot of the same sort of pre-snap motions that that Bieniemy was using that he used to beat us in the Super Bowl with the Chiefs. So
I know. Thank you. Everybody keep thinking that Andy. Okay, you know how I knew that Bieniemy was calling all those plays.
Then he's still calling them in Washington.
Exactly that too. But they did an interview with Patrick Mahomes, and he had actually researched this one play. That was legal, but it didn't look legal because nobody researches play. It was a play that Notre Dame did back in the day that they used that they ended up getting the touchdown off of. I was like, he's a guy like that. But, you know, I think he's a good offensive coordinator. I don't know what he would do as a head coach due to the powers that be.
I think I honestly think we're going to find out at the end of this year. I think Ron's going to step aside and he's going to take over.
I highly doubt it, but okay.
You think so?
I got some topics here that I want to bring up because I mean, I talked to a lot of Eagle fans all the time via text, phone, whatever, anywhere, you name it. But the topics, you want to go offensive, defensive player first.
Or what? I don't know what you're talking about.
I have two topics to bring up.
Okay. You want
offensive, defensive.
Offensive. All right. We'll go with Kenny Gainwell.
Okay. Oh, my God.
Kenny Gainwell recently, I'm not going to say recently, but I've heard I've heard Eagle fans speak his name out with swears
okay.
in the stadium the last couple weeks.
Yeah.
So yeah, the fumble down by the red zone was not the perfect time. I think it's the second. It was like first time in like 20 years that the Eagles have fumbled the ball in twice
flashbacks of Ronnie Brown. I didn't know what
Kenny Gainwell, where you guys stand with Kenny Gainwell at this moment?
Well,
I'm not even standing here.
I can tell you what you want me to go first, Ev?
Go ahead.
Where I stand with him is I feel like he's going through a bit of a sophomore slump, and it's like one of those things that all of us go through, and I think you can't give him that much responsibility as like you used to. And he has to earn his way back for your confidence. It's like you can't just give it to him because he's the because he's your draft pick. You got to put, like somebody just said, you got to put what's the other guy we got, Penny?
Yeah,
Rashard Penny. Yeah, start using him now because you have to show him that he's not the only. No, because he's a draft pick.
But is it a junior slump or a sophomore slump?
I think more of a sophomore slump.
This is his third year.
He skipped the sophomore. No, because when you look at it, he was good. He was good last year. This is the first time that he had the opportunity to be the man. He had the opportunity to be the man.
He did.
And so he's showing them that he can't be the man. He can just be that change of pace guy.
He's on his phone at halftime, like responding to Instagram messages. What's he playing at?
That shit can't. I didn't know that shit. That shit can't happen.
Yeah, and he was on his phone replying to someone who was trolling him. Yeah,
and the thing that needs to happen is, as a player, I will be ready to kick him in his ass. Secondly, Rashard, like we said, Rashard Penny should start getting some reps. And him and Boston Scott, he should be inactive for a couple of games, just to let him know that's not shit we do. Your head's supposed to be in the game. I already hate when they do the sideline interviews at halftime and shit, and during the game. What the hell out of my face? I'm trying to be the architect of a game here.
I mean, just talking about Kenny. I was talking to Gail on the phone about this earlier, and this is not me trying to take shots. This is me just observing.
Yes, say what you want to say.
Say what you just.
He lacks explosion for me, man. Like when I look at other running backs that come out of the backfield, you see those guys that as soon as they get the ball, they are downhill, just fast as hell, like shot out of a cannon out of the backfield. And Kenny Gainwell, like I've never seen that from him. He used to be like that last year. That's why I liked him. He also can't make anybody miss, man. Like I was watching DeAndre Swift and the cuts that he makes, it reminds me of Shady McCoy. I watch him out there and he's making guys miss left and right. Kenny Gainwell, I have no confidence if he's going one-on-one with a linebacker or safety that he's going to make the miss. I think he's just going to go right into them. So I don't know if it's a vision thing. I don't know if it's an agility thing, but yeah, he's definitely slumping this year, and I think he can snap out of it. And it's not like I never want to see him again. It's just a matter of I want to see less of him, and I want to give the ball to the hot hand right now, which is DeAndre Swift.
Well, the funny thing is, Coach Sirianni was like, "Oh, we're not going to give up on our player." You see what AJ Brown, his numbers are. You see what kind of all worldly stats Jalen Hurts is putting out there. But when you look at Kenny's numbers out here, that's not really world beater type numbers here. So I mean, just in general, I just feel like, he obviously doesn't have to be
He's gotten over 20 yards. What, once this year?
He doesn't have to be DMing fans. Fans, don't be DMing the players. Are you really?
Yeah, no, I mean, really. That's corny.
That's true.
Well, the players don't be on your damn phone at halftime. What the fuck you doing on your phone at halftime?
Hey, you shouldn't be. It's not a matter of whether or not they answered. I think Gale's just simply saying, just don't message the players. It's like,
I get that. I'm with Hollis on that because 12 minutes at halftime. 12 minutes at halftime. You're supposed to be turning the game around, not on your phone.
Yeah, I never in my, and I had a cell phone too. That motherfucker was off from the time I walked.
Cool. What did the cell phone look like when you played?
It was a fucking brick. It was this big.
No, I was too cool for that shit. I was into the small, the little flip phones occasionally, but then I got
you had the razor. You had the razor.
But then I had the note. You know, the small little note.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, the Treo. Remember the Treo?
No, I don't remember that. Apparently you're a little older than me.
That's a nice phone. It's a very nice phone. He had the BlackBerry, John.
I didn't have a BlackBerry. I had the
every key with the BlackBerry.
these things ain't, you know. That's why I got the other ones with the screen and enlarged the screen, so I wouldn't touch every letter. Mm-hmm. So I would say fuck you instead of how are you doing. I don't know how that correlates, but it just came up.
the other player I want to speak about, you know, obviously we mentioned him a little bit, Reed Blankenship. I think seeing his own words, he was kind of in his feels about where he was at. I think he knows it wasn't his best game. Mm-hmm. He says, I didn't get a lot of my job done today. He said, at the end of the day, you have to go back and fix your mistakes. But a win is a win. Ask what plays he was unhappy with. He said, you can pull them up. You can pull them all up. The touchdown I got scored on, the wrong leverage, not playing with good eyes. I have to fix it when I get it back. But the thing is, like, regardless, he made mistakes. He made a key play, and came up in at a key moment of the game, and he made some plays. At the end of the day, he's still making plays. But I think he has to be. This is one area of the defense that I keep seeing tight ends get busy.
Yeah.
But it's like this though. The one thing that I did like was the fact that he owned up to what he did, and I still equate it to him coming off, both those guys coming off injury, being gone for a couple of weeks. It's kind of like I was injured for a few weeks, and I literally had to play the last game of the season, even though we knew what we was playing, because the game speed is different from practice, and I keep telling people that it's like. Your practice, your teammates give a damn about you because they want you to play. They want you to have some success and build up some confidence. But when you get out there and that other guy doesn't move the way that the other guy did, it's like, ah, shit, I've been duped. But you fight through it and stuff. And the one thing you have to do is you have to get that first game after your injury under your belt, so then you can get back to what I call respectability, playing the way you know how to play. Because you're not going to be able to do it. That's why we were talking about not playing in the preseason and not tackling and stuff. I was like, guys up front, we hit literally every play. Well, before what's happening now, we literally hit every play. And I didn't understand why back then, but I do when I see play now, I understand why, because it takes a lot for you to stay on the same pad level all the time and hit people. And then do the different things and the movements and stuff. I was like, if you don't practice that stuff, you get rusty. And that's what a lot of times we see. So I just think that he's not going to rust off from being gone for that. Was he gone, a week or two?
Let's see. He missed one game.
Yeah, he missed one game.
And he half
that,
a game.
Yeah, but he missed that whole week of practice. But then he was limited in practice last week. So that meant that he didn't do everything.
I will say, looking back at how we started to gear up for the season, he's not a guy that should have been not playing in the preseason at all. I don't agree with that.
Yeah.
That's fair. I think he should have.
I think so. I mean, yeah. I'm not saying that he can't be the starting safety moving forward, because I still think he can be. I think just because of one bad game that demotes him. But I still think he could have used some work in the preseason and, you know, just shake the rust off.
Yeah, I think so, too, because sometimes we And sometimes the coaches are guilty of it too. Anointing people before it's time, you got to still let them work for it to make sure that they understand that, you know, yeah, we got you starting, but you have to earn it, baby.
Shout out to Philly OG 53. So what's going on, fellas? If Hollis was on the team, he would have shook him around like a dog toy. Nick needs to check Gainwell ASAP. Remember when Riley Cooper got twisted and dropped the N-bomb? What a time to be alive, man.
No, man.
That was it.
That's what our wide receivers used to look like. And now we got
remember that play where that Riley Cooper was in the end zone laying down
in the end zone?
I was like,
And that was actually a good play, but then it got called back.
Yo, how about Riley drops the N-bomb and then gets a contract after the season's over?
Yeah.
Bizarre, bro.
That was bizarre. That's a Kip Kelly
character move right there, bro.
But that's why you got to be just excited.
Emotional intelligence, right?
Excited where we're at, man. Like emotional intelligence. The players that we have, dude.
Him and Kerry, the dude, what was the DB? Kerry
Williams.
Oh, Sconces, you mean?
Yeah, the Sconce guy. He didn't like that shit. And he let it be known.
Now, a lot of talk will be had. I know we have the Cowboys talk coming up, but the Birds schedule is real. Mm-hmm. Week 9, we have the Cowboys. Week 10, bye. We take some time off to think about ourselves. Week 11, back at the Chiefs. Week 12, the Bills. Week 13, the 49ers. Week 14, back at the dump, Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Week 15, the Seahawks. It's going to be a wild ride. Now,
I'm not beatable, bro.
Okay, well, Mr. Miami over here. So
what was that?
Keeping it realistic.
Okay, you said all these teams are beatable.
I forgot about that.
So which out of all these teams, Miami? Here, I mean, how are you guys feeling?
One,
going
one at a time now.
Okay. Deepest apologies. He'll be back. The funniest thing is, I'll let you know, Ev. You were not the only one that the Miami week that was apprehensive about the situation. My counterpart on Vetted, Irvin Fryer, was saying the same things you were. And I tried to, and you know the jacked up thing about that whole time is I told him exactly what Desai was going to do to corral him. It's a copycat league. You go look at what the Bills did. And we did exactly the same thing. But he was like, and then, but then Doc told it to him, and then all of a sudden he understood. I was like, you kidding me? I just told you that shit last week. but you did have apprehensions, and I commend you for being honest.
And it simply came down to I was looking at our DBs versus their wide receivers. But I mean, we drew up the right game plan to quell that.
But yeah, I think you overlooked our guys up front.
I did.
Yeah, I think so. Well, they got defensively. I think the funniest thing was, I don't know if you saw those first two plays. Jalen Carter just made it known that he wasn't having it.
No, and you know what? Not just Jalen Carter, but someone who has been under the radar playing phenomenal this
year. JD.
Jordan Davis, bro.
JD.
Jordan Davis has been clogging holes. The run defense with Jordan Davis on the field is night and day than without him on the field.
Mm-hmm. Well, we missed both on Sunday. Like when Davis and Carter were out, like, there was a noticeable, huge difference. For the defense, it was. I don't know. I think someone asked a question in the comments earlier on around update on Jalen Carter. I've seen a couple of things flying around today that they think he's going to be fit and healthy for Sunday.
He said he feels good.
Is anyone nervous about Jalen?
No, well,
Jalen Hurts. I'm saying
no. He's
Jalen might be a little hurt.
What's that? The one thing that
him hobbling up to the line, and I get it. He played the rest of the game, and he seems fine. I don't see him on the injury report. But the way he was hobbling, I know he's already got that knee brace on. I don't know, man. Like, I feel like there's a lingering knee thing going on.
Yeah.
It wasn't as noticeable. I guess it wasn't as bulky.
There was a time where he was two-minute drill.
It was when Devontae had that where they were calling it wasn't a catch.
Because he got blasted. It's like sometimes you just can't shake those plays off right away.
Mr. Cross says it's a bone bruise. My thing is players can play injured. That's just what football players do. Players that are injured play football.
Have you seen the movie Program? You haven't seen. This is the scene for Program. Omar Epps was the young freshman running back. And he got blasted. So James Conn was the head coach of
a high school. Are you hurt or are you injured?
He's like, well, what do you mean? He's like, well, if you're hurt, you can still play. If you're injured, I can't use you. So are you hurt or are you injured?
So he's injured.
That no, didn't define hurting. Anything. He's just hurting. Quoting a movie.
No. If you're hurt, you still can play. If
I think it's injured, amazing, though.
You can't play.
I think it's amazing because...
Well, hold on, Liam.
Go on, Hollis.
Now, I played with dislocated fingers. I played with broken wrists. I played with contusions in my shoulder. They would call me the fat gladiator because I had to put a harness on before the fucking game. So you can play hurt. I played the entire season on a stress fracture.
Oh, yeah?
You can play hurt, you can't play injured.
I played football with the... bruised nuts, pal. I had an injury where the doctor was like, if you get hit in the same spot, you're gonna have to. Can I finish here?
We don't want to hear about your nuts. We don't want.
I'm just saying it was an injury that was so bad that like if you get hit the same spot, you might not have kids.
Was this an injury that happened on the field, Gale? Or else?
Yeah, it was bad. It was bad. It was bad. When you see me in person, I'll tell you the story. It's much more funnier.
Yeah, please wait. I'm pretty sure Evan's tired of hearing that story.
But if I was hurt, I don't know if I was hurt or injured or my man who was hurt. Just put it that way.
With Jalen playing the way he's playing, like all that talk a couple of years ago about him being like a running back, and we all know how good he is at passing the ball, but the fact that his legs have been taken away a lot this year, to see him throwing the ball as well as he's thrown the ball. I know he did it last year as well, but to see him consistently do it and to be able to win games with his arm is exciting for Eagles fans, for the longevity of Jalen Hurts as your franchise quarterback. To show that he can do it without his legs at all, really.
You hear that, L? All of you who were with Jalen Hurts at first?
Am I anti Jalen Hurts?
Not anymore.
No.
Evan's getting all of it tonight.
Yeah, just.
Well, you're not getting all of it. You were talking. He's not getting all of it. You were just talking about your nutsack, and we didn't really want to hear that.
Hey,
I don't know.
I'm just adding some conversation to the table here.
TMI, you're just getting way too personal.
Hey, it's all good. We're all friends here.
Yeah.
I've been talking to y'all for a long time now. I'm thinking I might as well share some stuff. But Scotty says here the bone bruise happened in his softball game. Did you hear that?
No.
I mean, I did. I went back and I saw him slide in the third base at the softball game where I was just like, dog, are you really sliding? He had a raspberry on his leg. I was like, Jalen fucking slid in the third place.
Bone bruise from a skin scrape.
No, but I'm saying the way that he slid into third base, the whole crowd collectively when he slid, and then Jalen just got up and I was like, dude, I was like, this guy's a competitor. You know, it doesn't matter what he's playing, he's gonna try and win.
In a cool tone's fucking tougher than both of y'all, bro. Played a game, both legs turned 180 degrees, he just ran backwards.
Yeah. Yes, this is.
Was he playing on the vet?
June 12th. It said he got a. It says I've just been googling here. He said he got a. He bruised his bone on his knee. June 12th, playing in the softball game. So yeah, might be right.
I'm no doctor, but I am in charge of medicals here on the podcast. Yeah. What the hell kind of bruise is lasting since June, bro?
Thank you. And nobody's touched him, Liam.
That's true.
He didn't play the whole preseason, so it's not like no one was touching him during training camp. He didn't play the whole preseason, so he got all the way from June to September, and that bone bruise is still existing.
The article is from June 12th. The article is from June 12th, so it's not like the article came out in September.
I got you. No, but I'm saying, I'm simply saying that nobody touched Jalen physically from June to September. I feel like that 4 months should be plenty of time.
You're probably right.
They say Hurts said it didn't happen on the field. Everybody said, but a lot of people are saying shit. How about we if let Hurts tell us?
Hey man, listen, I just keep in the back of my mind. You guys remember Chris Maragos? They told him that his injury was something it wasn't, and he won a lawsuit from it. So I'm just saying it's happened within the Eagles organization before. I'm not saying that he's got a torn ACL that he's playing on. I'm saying I think it's more than a bone bruise.
Ev, you don't know it happened long before that?
What?
That misdiagnosis. You remember a receiver? I don't know if you're old enough to remember a receiver named Gary Scott. He kept telling him he had a high ankle sprain that was a spiral fracture. Mm. So it's not that it's not outside the realm. So I understand that part.
But Chris Margo's won $43 million.
Yes, because Gary Scott didn't win $43 million. He got a few million, but they misdiagnosed him. He had to go get surgery right away. So
this is exactly my point, though, is that there has been misdiagnosis before, and bone bruise just doesn't make much sense considering the timeline.
Thank you. And the Margo's thing was gross neglect. Really, that was real bad.
Yeah.
Mark's asking you a question.
Well, Mark, I don't think movies are real life, but Dick Cheney, the quote has to do with real life.
Well, shout out to Mark. You're going to see him this week because he's coming for the Dallas game.
Hell yeah!
Shout out to him. Omar said he's from Bermuda. He's coming in for the Philly Sports Trips tailgate. We're also having a 4th and John tailgate out there. So Evan's going to make a cheesesteak.
And then
check your medicals, too.
Check your medicals all at the same time.
Oh, God. That is
I got a dodgy ankle, Evan. Can you come and have a look?
Hey. Dear God, no.
Hey, he brings up a nice little point for you Covey haters out there, Pete, Nathan. English Covey will get a return for a touchdown this game, special teams MVP. He had a nice return, man. It was like 20 plus yards.
That was sexy.
That was nice. That was and he's return. He's been, I mean, he hasn't made it to the end zone yet, but he's had some nice returns so far this year, man. I think he's shown significant improvement from last year to this.
Mm. Justin chimes in. He says, this is my first Eagles game ever. I'll be going to any tips for me for tailgating, best cheesesteak, things to do. We just gave you one.
Yeah, I'll answer all that in one. G2, 4th and John tailgate. You get the best cheesesteak, you get your tailgate, and some things to do. That's at least game day.
It's also free.
It's also free. Other than that, checking out things in the city, a lot of graffiti and trash.
Oh, you can go to Evan didn't even talk about Santucci's, his favorite Italian restaurant.
Love Santucci's. Santucci's one of the best pizza joints in the really? Yeah, Santucci's is baller.
What about you?
I was thinking about hitting a jazz bar up on Saturday night. You guys got any?
There's actually a jazz bar down the street from my house. What was the one you were looking at?
So we'll get jazz bar together, have some drinks, and you can look at my ankle while we're at it.
Yeah, I like
whoa,
that.
Whoa, whoa.
Okay. That's gonna be awesome.
What about Hollis? You got any tips for Justin? He's
Philly. Check out Philly Sports Trip.
Yeah,
we'll be over there kicking it at Live Casino, straight thugging it up. I was gonna tell him to check out Ev's cheesesteak. It was pretty tasty, and he makes a quality burger too. So,
thank you.
And they're fresh. And who do we get our meats from?
The restaurant that I work at.
Oh,
you might want to give them names like
Sal's Pizza in Marlton, New Jersey.
Sal's
and the bread, which is important, comes from
that is Licio's. Those are Licio's rolls.
Yeah, hopefully, it's not Sal's Pizza in Brooklyn.
The roll is what makes the sandwich. By the way,
it does.
Yes,
don't
know that.
It is tender and delicious. Shout
out to Pasha Gavenue in London, which is a Philadelphia dive bar.
That's my shit.
They import their bread over to the U.S.
They do. It was great. I went there when we had the game in London after Super Bowl victory year, and I spent about 5 or 6 hours there just eating and drinking and playing. It was a card game. No, I never.
Oh yeah, no, I never. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a bunch of people. It was a bunch of Eagles fans there. They had to play. The Philly on the wall. The play on the wall had. Mm-hmm. Not only the Eagles stuff, but they had Flyers, Phillies, Sixers. They had everything there. It was just
Jason
like
Kelsey and Mummer's outfit and everything on the side. Yeah.
Yes, it was just like a slice of Philadelphia put right down there in London.
Yeah. Chat to Prime. He says, just getting off work. Now on my way to trick-or-treating. Whatever trick-or-treating with the kids. Go Birds. And what is Bruised Nuts? Hey,
well, you can call him after the show and tell him.
Hey, it was bro. Imagine. Never mind.
Yeah, thank you.
It was.
Thank you.
We can exchange stories after the show because I got one.
I've got a story or two that is not fit for this podcast. So.
I will. I will buy. I will gracefully buy.
Mark is trying to put us back on the tracks here, and he asks Hollis, "What's your favorite memory versus the Cowboys?"
Your favorite memory. It had to be the second game of my rookie year when they were coming off a Super Bowl win, and we were down there at Texas Stadium. They had driven the ball the length of the field. So our then defensive coordinator was Emmett Thomas. He knew that they was finna run some bullshit and try to play action fake us and throw a pass. So he called what we call goal line out. Is where we do the defensive line does out charges, and then you shoot the other linebackers in, but one linebacker stays for coverage. And the linebacker that stayed for coverage was James Willis. He caught the interception, and you can hear Troy say, "Give it to me, give it to me." Then he pitched it to Troy, and the rest is Eagles history. You can still see, actually that story goes with a bit of a caveat, because I was getting ready to take off, start running, and as I did like this, somebody grabbed my right arm and say, "What do you think you take your little fat ass to? Who the fuck you think got to come back out here and play defense when that's over?" And so that William Fuller, he told me, so we walked to the sideline as Troy ran to the end zone. And as you look up on the Texas Stadium Jumbotron, you can see one of my defensive line counterparts running out in front of Troy and then next to Troy. Number 90, Ronnie Dixon. Next thing you know, Ronnie Dixon spent the rest of the evening sucking oxygen from the oxygen tank on the sideline. But that was like my greatest memory, because when we came back, it was like we had won like a championship game or something, because people was lining like the streets and stuff out there by where we flew back in. That was awesome, dude.
While we're at it,
go ahead.
I said everyone bring up their favorite Eagles, you know, moment. There was one just up here. I don't know where it went. Scotty said he was at Arlington when D-Jax fell in the end zone after a 90-yard touchdown. That was a great play, man. That was
the better play was
showed a lot of juice.
Yeah, but then my favorite one was when he dropped the ball before he crossed the goal line. But then
was that in Dallas?
Yeah, but Lil Boots was right behind him and picked it up. my bad, Lil Boots is Brian Westbrook. We call
is that your nickname for him?
That's the whole team's nickname for him, because me and Hugh Douglas, we found a calendar schedule when he was playing with Villanova that said Wild Wild Westbrook, and he had a cowboy hat on and a vest. And you remember Shrek 2 had came out with Puss in Boots, so he was like, "Look at him in his wee little boots." So he was dubbed Lil Boots from that time on.
So when you see him now to this day, you say, "What's up, Lil Boots?"
"What's that, Lil Boots?"
So if one of us come up to him and say, "Yo, we heard Hollis called you Lil Boots,"
he gonna chuckle a little bit, but that's about it. He took it in stride. It was just funny. It was like it's a few cowboy moments that I don't think they're truly funny, but they're Wait, you remember when Michael Irvin messed up his neck? Now, everybody thought that they were booing Michael Irvin, but nobody else put the camera on Deion, who came and was like calling to the Lord and was trying to lay healing hands on Michael Irvin. That's what people were booing that, because of his theatrics. And the funniest part of that is later on when Michael Irvin became a commentator, he tried to call Ty Pinkston a chump, because they threw a slant route, a post route, and Sean Taylor was there, and Ty Pinkston said the light was in his eyes, so he tried to say he punked out. I was like, nobody knows the reason that he almost broke his neck was because he was ducking a 175-pound safety named Tim Houck. I remember the play like it was yesterday. They were was fourth down, and they instead of running the ball, because they knew we loaded up for the run, they ran a slant. I tried to block it, and when I tried to block it, I saw a pass, and I turned around. I saw Michael Irvin was going for the pass, but he looked up and he saw Tim Houck coming down. When he saw Tim Houck coming down, he tried to get down. When he tried to get down, he face planted on a veteran stadium turf. So don't call nobody a coward when you're the coward yourself.
And Cool Tone says, my favorite Eagles Cowboy moment was the Eagles Cowboys game 2008, week 17. Mm-hmm. I had a moment, it was the 87 when Buddy Ryan was trying to run up the score.
Right.
have some dirtbag stuff I liked.
Not really. It's not
dirtbag. I like it. You know, according to football being a good sport and everything, Buddy Ryan just did what he did. Let's see. Rackshack says, my favorite memory was the first NFL game I ever watched. The Michael Injury game when I moved to States. Became an Eagles fan that day.
Oh, wow.
Interesting.
Wow.
Interesting.
Mine wasn't a Dallas game. This is my first Dallas game live I'm seeing, but I was there for the Jake Elliott record-breaking field goal with 1 second left on the clock.
Wow.
I think that was my first live Eagles game at the Lake.
The year we won the Super Bowl?
Yeah, that was my first ever game. And that's awesome. as of Sunday, I'm now 6-for-6. Love that. Eagles live. Yeah. Seven for seven coming this Sunday.
For me, the memory I was going to bring up, Eagles versus Dallas, was actually from that year. That was the year, the first time we played Dallas. Obviously, we played them, I think it was like the last game of the year in the game that didn't matter. But, dude, we went down that first game, week 11. 9-7 going into halftime. And then we scored 30 points to their zero in the second half to win 37-9. It's just a dominant performance, man. And I had to go back and look at that because if I'm being completely honest with you, the memories with the Dallas Cowboys in recent years, they've kind of had our number, man. I'm not going to lie. So
not in 2017.
I'm hoping to switch that up. That's the game I literally just said, but go ahead.
But I was going to just say, just that Super Bowl run year when we had Jay Jai, you know, just that game cemented home to even Cowboy fans that we were going to go to the Super Bowl.
Yep.
And they were in their fields. And then who else? AJ Brown, not AJ.
Alshon, bro.
Alshon had a nice catch in the end zone. It's kind of sealed the victory. I felt like we're going to the Super Bowl. Locked it in. The Cowboy fans were hitting me up. They're like, you guys kicked their ass. You guys got it. I'm like, yeah, I know.
He's kind of AJ, you know, Alshon Jeffrey. You know, don't put yourself down there.
Yeah.
You know, you got it.
Wealthy Mind says Hollis with his dining chair from the 90s. They coming for you in the comments.
I can see him. Tell him to go fuck yourself.
Someone else said in the comments earlier their favorite moment was the Zach Ertz touchdown in the Super Bowl, and that's probably one of my favorite moments ever. I wasn't alive, but to watch.
Yeah. Let's see.
The favorite moment was the very first time I actually started. We played at Veterans Stadium, and they called my name coming out of the tunnel. The smoke was coming. The smoke was steam, more steam. It's like, I have arrived. It's time for some glory. that was like one of the sweetest things.
Burmy 777 says, my favorite Eagles game was when Eagles beat Dallas Cowboys in the conference finals when Jaws was quarterback and went to the Super Bowl and lost to the Raiders.
Yeah. The Raiders. Yeah. The Raiders.
Now, some of these, I know some of people, Bob from Down Under, talked about the trade. I mean, some of it's Chase Young going to the 49ers, aka the 40 Winers.
Yeah, now hey, so now tell me what you think of this, Ev Love and you guys. Now they were been bitching and moaning about everybody taking their pass rusher out of the game. But did you just pay him out the ass?
Who are you talking about?
The 40 Winers. The kid Bosa, they've been fucking Bosa up.
Yeah,
and so it's like we need. So they brought Chase Young in. So now people are talking about. Just talking about him in general. And I was like, he's not healthy all the time. I was like, it's the reason why they let him go because he's not healthy. They talking about he was a cornerstone. No, the fuck he's not. You gotta be on the field to be a cornerstone. You gotta be out there. He's a great. I feel like he's a great talent. I was like, but you don't.
He's unreliable.
Thank you.
I mean, he missed 22 games. So 22 games is 22 games.
Wow, really?
Jeez. 22 games out of how? He's only been in the league for what, 3-4 years?
Yeah, that's the thing. That's what I'm saying. So they were trying to get somebody to take some of the pressure off Bosa. I was like, but when you give somebody all that cheese, that's what you get the cheese for. You want that smoke?
Yeah.
Well, you want that smoke. That's like because the funniest thing is when I got paid by the, after it was 1 year after my rookie contract was up, I got paid by the Eagles. The next game we were playing against the New Orleans Saints, and little fat ass center who used to play for the Baltimore Ravens, name is Wally Williams. So Wally was talking trash, talking about some. Show me why you got that. show me why they give you that contract. It was like early in the game. So I proceeded to make Ricky Williams fumble twice and get two sacks. And I had to tell his little fat ass, that's why they gave me the contract. That's like, but you're going to have guys talking shit about you. When you get that contract, everybody's going to be trying to prove that you didn't deserve it. You have to continue to compete to show that you deserve that bread. Mm-hmm. It's like, you can't just rest on what you did. This is a what have you done for me lately league. Yep. And if he keeps on going the way he's going, they will ask him to take a pay cut, and he's not going to like it.
Did you see the Giants were going to trade Adoree Jackson to the 49ers, but didn't get their papers in time as well?
Yeah.
Sounds like a Giants move to me.
Jalen Johnson was the other cornerback from the Bears that people were looking at. Who was saying they said the Eagles were interested? The Bills were interested. 49ers were interested.
Well, the Bills got Rasul Butler. I mean, Rasul Douglas.
Yeah. What other trades did you guys like out there? I mean, we did trade Kentavious Street out there.
If I'm being honest with you, one that flew under the radar, I think, was Donovan Peoples-Jones too.
Yeah, that was.
I think that he is extremely slept on in that Cleveland receiving core.
Sixth round pick too. That was really nothing.
I mean, and for like, that's more firepower for a Detroit Lions team who has, honestly, they've been good offensively. So
I think he said something to get the hell out of there, though.
You think what?
I think he said something to get the hell out of there, though.
I don't blame him. I would want to get the hell out of Cleveland, too. That's a dumpster fire.
Yeah. Now, I have a meeting with Seth Joyner here pretty soon, guys.
You do what you got to do, bro.
Well, no, I'm gonna stick around to about for another few minutes because I'm supposed to be on here at 8 because I thought we was gonna go till 7:30, but I didn't realize how much we chewed the fat.
It's because you got an Irish guy on the podcast. We talk a lot.
I mean, we're going to be previewing the Cowboys game later on this week. So if you we'll figure it out.
Well, you can't basically be in the middle of the god ding dang day, son.
Figure it out.
It's like he was like, "Are you gonna be on?" I was like, "Dude, I have to totally move shit around to fuck with you."
Well, that's why we have to figure it out. That's when we'll figure it out.
Okay,
we'll figure it out. Overall, I mean, just we wanted to recap the Commanders game. It was a big win. We're 7-1. We're heading into the Cowboys week. It's going to be a big week. I think overall Philadelphia is crazy right now. Mm-hmm. Minus Halloween alone. I think
is it a full moon outside?
It could be.
It was yesterday.
I saw it yesterday, but then it disappeared. Like I stayed over by the river and there was a giant ghost ship that like went by. I called it a ghost ship because it went by and there was fog all around it. I was like, yeah. I'm gonna go on here.
Was it Reed Blankenship?
Well, that's a better name than the name that some. What was the name that you tried to give him?
Milk missile. We had Chalk Dock. We had Talcum Jenkins.
Talcum Jenkins is up there.
Yeah. It was the milk missile thing. I was like, everybody's like, what the fuck is that? Milk missile. Like, pause. Hold on.
we have to make that in a t-shirt, F. Yeah, you can wear it. Shout out to everyone that stuck around in the comments. Why don't we start with our last word before we get out of here?
Let me get mine first. I can get the hell out of here. My last word, thank you guys for having me back and then having me on the show. I appreciate it. Love you guys. What happened?
Likewise.
Yeah, I think it's like I'm thinking this week coming up. I think this is it's one of those times where it's the first time both of the generals are healthy. So I feel like it's going to be an electric game. I don't think it's going to be easy by any stretch of the means because I feel like they have an architect defensively that who I know we had the same agent, me and Dan Quinn. Yeah, is it Gus Bradley or Dan Quinn? Is Dan Quinn?
Dan Quinn is their
defense coordinator.
Yeah.
That's my Okay, so we had the same agent, and he was trying to get me up in Seattle for a hot second before I hung it up. but in watching his defenses over the years, he's a quality defensive architect, and I feel like this is going to be a quality test for our offense. And this will get our guy AJ Brown one step closer to that MVP talk that I was like, you guys said that, I hadn't thought about that because it's normally either a running back or a quarterback. Most of the time it's a quarterback. It's like they don't think of nobody else. So if he would be the first receiver ever, if he's going to do it, this game's like this right here where he has to. It's not like he hasn't been showing his ass, but he needs to show his ass for them to even think about that. Yeah, Paul. I look forward to this game. I look forward to hanging out with the Birds Fly Home crew Thursday. I'll be there Thursday for the, I think it's the happy hour stuff going on, and then they're doing a stadium tour. But I'm just going to meet you guys out front. I'm not doing that damn tour. No, spank you very much.
Too much walking. Too many stairs.
Way too many. A stadium tour, an entire stadium tour.
Yeah, that's fair.
Good luck.
I'll be there at the stadium tour with you.
Okay. I'm gonna say what's up and chip my hat and slowly walk away. But that's all I got, and I'll see you guys on the next show.
Later, right. Hollis.
All right,
see y'all later.
Yeah,
Hollis.
You know, how about you, Mr. Liam? Last word before we get out of here.
Yeah, I saw someone's comment there a second ago, which was, the Eagles can't play like they played against Washington this week on by, and they're not gonna. Like, let's remember what the Eagles did against the number one offense in football, one of the best offenses in NFL history, 2 weeks ago against Miami. Dallas are not as good offensively as Miami. They're good on defense. Their offensive line is probably a little bit healthier than Miami was. But Sam Howell just gets up against the Birds. The Washington, they get up against the Birds. They do it every time. We lost to them last year. We nearly got beat twice this year so far. I'm not worried about the fact that they pushed us. I'm not worried about what we saw. We got the W. That's all that matters. We're 7-1. We're the only team in the NFL who are 7-1. And we're about to go 8-1. Into the bye after we beat Dallas this Sunday. I have no qualms about that.
Love that.
Said it with your chest. No stutters.
Yeah.
No pauses.
Hey, we're professionals here. Well,
you know.
I feel the exact same way though, Liam. And it was nice to have you on the show. Look forward to hanging out with you. Look forward to giving you a cheesesteak and the real Philly treatment. But yeah, as for the Birds, man, I completely agree. This is let me reiterate. This is the biggest game of the year so far. They cannot come out sleeping. They need to play a full 60 minutes. And I have all the confidence in the world that they will. I mean, this Eagles team has showed me that they're resilient and that they're a good team and that they get up for the big games. So they know who their opponent is. They know what's on the line, and they're going to handle business. Let's go Birds.
Go Birds. Big shout out to Conch Hawk and Italian Baker, who will be supplying the tomato pies. We have put the messaging on the tomato pie just in case the Eagles need to see a reminder of this guy, Swift, who had one carry in the first half. So run the ball, keep it balanced. We love that. We also love Red Bull. Shout out to Red Bull, I've been doing a little bartending at the latest tailgates. A little Red Bull and vodka get you revved up early in the morning. And then you hit them with the Bud Light. You know, these Kelly Green cans are pretty intense. So shout out to Bud Light for sponsoring the tailgate as well. But if you guys are also looking for trips, Philly Sports Trips has done a phenomenal job all season long. We were just down there in Washington. We were in LA the week before that. We were in New England getting ridiculed by Patriots fans.
LA? Oh, you said LA.
LA. We're about to go to KC. We're about to go to Dallas. It's going to be a long, long couple of trips. But if you're looking to go on one, make sure you hit up Philly Sports Trips at phillysportstrips.com for more information. Liam and his homies are having their big trip. I'm proud of you guys, man. At the end of the day, I mean, it started as a conversation. We were talking about getting you guys over, like how could we make this happen? And then it's turned into this whole Birds Fly Home, and you guys are getting a really nice trip just to enjoy the birds like I know you guys want to. And now you're here on the pod, and everything's coming together, man.
It's amazing. I mean, so yeah, birds fly home, trip to Philly Sports, trip to organizers, 25 UK fans flying over on Thursday, meeting them in Philly, going to have a happy hour, hotel, stadium tour Friday morning. We're actually on Good Day Philadelphia at 7:45.
It's awesome. Nice.
Friday morning. So if you want to tune in and see some crazy UK Eagles fans on there, then by all means do. We're hitting the 76ers game on Saturday, and then Philly Sports Trips tailgating the game on Sunday. It's going to be a hell of a ride. So if you see me, if you see anyone with these green T-shirts around with the British and Irish Eagles logo and the Philly Sports Trips on the back, come say hello. We'll talk some birds with you.
God bless. And you won't even have to watch the fat man at the Sixers game. That's great.
See, I mean,
later,
no,
James.
He's gone. He's
bye.
Yeah.
Liam, let them know where they can follow you guys at.
You can follow us at British Eagles on Twitter. There's a link on there to all of our social media channels, and you can follow the British and Irish Eagles podcast on Spotify and all your normal streaming services as well. And hey, if anyone is ever coming over to UK, come and check us out at Passion Avenue. We do watch alongs there. We do podcasts there, or just drop us a DM. We'd be more than happy to hang with you guys. And talking about Philly Sports Trips and trips that the Phillies are playing in London next year, I know Philly Sports Trips are going to be doing a trip for that as well. So come and check that out. I'll be power hosting that over there in the UK as well.
Very cool.
I might have to do one of those trips, man.
We
were at the bar.
John takes on Piccadilly Circus.
We might have to do some. I was thinking about going to Ireland too. So
have you booked the flights yet, Gail? You just got to get it done, man.
We will. You spoke it into existence. I think that's the thing. What I'm going to do is I'm going to speak a Eagles win into existence. Like I said, we're going to be doing a podcast previewing that game at the end of the week. But before we get out of here, I just want to happy, healthy, safe Halloween. Shout out to Prime and the kids. Shout out to Mal and the kids. Make sure they're eating some quality candy. Tootsie Roll, my favorite. Yours?
Reese's, bro. It's all about the Reese's.
Favorite candy?
You guys. I mean, you guys need to come to the UK. Like Kit Kat Chunkies, man. Oh, you ever had a Kit Kat Chunky? Proper one?
Chunky?
Oh yeah, Kit Kat Chunky. Go Google it up. It's just like the most
amazing. Kit Kat Chunky.
Shout out to Jamal Singleton, Eagles running back coach. Me and Gail spent some time with last year. I'm seeing him this week. So every year I have to send him over a care package full of English sweets because he grew up in the UK. So him and his daughter eat loads of it, and he gives them out to some of the players in the team. So
it's like one thick Kit Kat.
Yeah, it's incredible. Like the wafer in the middle. Oh yeah. My god,
looks good.
I haven't lived.
How come we never had that?
You guys don't get the best sweets over here. I'm telling you, the UK sweets, the candy, chocolate, whatever you want to call it, UK, we got you covered on that front. I'm telling you.
Oh well, you heard it here first from Liam. But we'll see you guys in the next one. As always, fly. Eagles, fly.
Go Birds!